Okay, so hello everybody. So today I would like to talk on the following subject about a little bit about molecular spin electronics. So first I will give you some brief introduction to some recent experimental effects which were measured in this field, and then I will explain you our contribution to this field, which is mainly related to the presence of a Kondo effect in single molecules attached to ferromagnetic fields, and also very important effect is a detection of electron spin resonance from a single spin using transport properties. So what is main motivation to study molecular spintronics? So what I mean by molecular spintronics, I mean some molecular system where we inject spin, we create spin by some optical methods or by attaching them to ferromagnetic leads and push spin-dependent current through them. But we could also consider molecules which are magnetic and behave like a very small a magnet, of course, at low temperature. And why molecular spintronics could be important? So we know that in semiconductor system there is a big problem to inject spin from ferromagnetic metals to semiconductor system due to Schottky barrier and huge resistance mismatch. But in molecular system, recently people succeed to show that such a injection, even very good injection with very good contact, is possible. And many effects which were already studied in mesoscopic physics related with electron interaction or with wave nature of conducting electrons are possible in molecular system in the presence of ferromagnetic leads, but are still very difficult to study in semiconductor system. So I think this is one of the main motivation to study this topic. And our contribution were done in collaboration between several groups. So first group is a group of Professor Barnaś from Poland, from Poznań, and another important group is from Japan, is a group of Professor Marakawa from Tohoku University from Sendai. Huge input was done also by Dr. Utsumi from Riken, especially related to this Kondo physics. And I spent many years in group of Gerd Schenn from Karlsruhe, where a huge part, also in cooperation with him, of this work was done. And also there we start a very strong collaboration with Jürgen König and his student, which is now in Bochum. And our interest or our collaboration is more related to this third part of my talk. And very important contribution was done also by group of Jan, which is here, but not in the audience. And his very important contribution was that we applied numerical normalization group, which was discussed last Monday by him, to this molecular system or with ferromagnetic leads. And we published series of papers using this technique as well. So first I will discuss some theory with you, which was developed in this collaboration, and then I will make some comparison to some recent experiment obtained by Danraud group from Cornell for C60 molecule attached to ferromagnetic leads. But first, I will start with some. So Gerrit asked me to prepare some short overview, some recent experimental results on molecular spintronics. There were some talks already in the first part of this workshop by Christian Schonenberger, but I think some people already came later, so it's also good to remind, since these results are in our opinion, are rather important. And in the second part, I will talk about this interplay of the Kondo effect and ferromagnetism in quantum dots of single molecule molecules attached to ferromagnetic leads. And in third part, if I will have enough time, I will briefly discuss with you the dynamics or of single spins, or how we can manipulate it, how we can detect single single spin electron spin resonance using transport properties. And so let's start with the first part. And we already know since several years that there is the field which is called molecular electronics, where people use molecules. Sometimes it was molecular materials. It could be some cluster of molecules. It could be a single molecules like carbon nanotubes with very nice geometry, where we can study the transport. We can construct some electronic circuits and so on. And now the question is, can we also use these materials in our spintronics? So only recently people start to experimentally to study the transport in such a system. So one of the first paper is a paper from Japan, where people attach multi-walled carbon nanotube to two cobalt electrodes and they measure transport through it. Very recently, people also demonstrate that it's possible to attach even to single C60 molecule ferromagnetic leads. It is more than 1 year old results. And so we can call it the first milestone of our molecular spintronics. But what is very hot topic, and it's just it is just at the beginning, that we know that chemists are able to synthesize very small magnets which contain only, for example, 12 manganese ions, which form effective spin 10, but anisotropy energy is enough huge that even in few Kelvin temperature, we can still detect magnetic hysteresis of such a system. So even such a single molecule behave like a small magnet at low temperature. And also very recently, it's a result from the end of last year and beginning of this year, the group from Delft and from Cornell and Harvard, they succeed to show, to demonstrate some first transport measurements through such a system. And we believe that the next step, it will be to try, and of course they use a normal electrodes, it was a gold electrodes. But natural next step will be to try to apply ferromagnetic leads to such a magnetic molecules, and probably some new effects related with the manipulation of spin degrees of freedom such a system will be possible. And of course we should also remember that these molecular systems are also active optically, and also we can also imagine some nano-mechanical properties of such a system. So usually the physics should be very rich. There is plenty of theoretical paper on this subject, but not so many experiments, so I will just mention at the beginning some few important experiments, and then we will discuss our small contribution to this field. So first let's consider a situation where we attach molecules to ferromagnetic electrodes. It's a bulk metallic electrodes, and people succeed to attach single carbon nanotubes, but recently also even smaller molecules like C60 molecules, and also using molecular materials group of Professor Avshalom from here from Santa Barbara. They show that they can connect two quantum dots by some molecules and optically generate a spin in one of these dots and transmit the spins using these molecules between these two quantum dots. But usually we use this ferromagnetic leads for it, and in such a system we can expect typical effects for which we know for metallic system, like spin wave effect, some exchange interaction, no equilibrium spin accumulation, spin precession. Since these molecules are small, we can effectively accumulate very small spin, and we can expect to measure electron spin resonance from using the transport from the single spin. And it is also very important that we should try to somehow manipulate the spin. And what is also important, that the role of interaction in this system, and if we consider such a carbon nanotube, it's a quasi 1D system, and we can expect there some Lattinger liquid behavior, which was already studied theoretically by people from here, by Leo Balens also. And if we consider low-dimensional systems, zero-dimensional systems, so-called quantum dots, so due to the electron interaction, we can expect some Coulomb blockade there, sequential tunneling, co-tunneling, Kondo effect. And also there are, depends on the quality of the contacts between such a carbon nanotubes or molecules to the leads. We can consider the ballistic regime, where we can describe our electrons as the waves, but it's also possible that our barrier are tunnel-like, and then the presence of interaction is much more important, and interaction determine our transport properties. Okay, so one of the first experiment, it was multi-wall carbon nanotubes attached to cobalt electrodes, as on this picture, and it was just measurements of the resistance through such a system as a function of magnetic field. And what we can see here is a typical spin wave behavior. So as we tune magnetic field, we control magnetization of both leads. If they are parallel, then resistance is low due to the matching of density of states for left and right leads. Now, if we have anti-parallel orientation, then the transport is reduced. We have higher resistance state. And then if we tune more our magnetic field, then again we have a parallel orientation in both opposite direction and low resistance state. So it's a typical behavior for magnetic panel junction, for spin wave behavior. And this experiment was done several years ago already, but recently...
That nanotube was multi-wall. Is there anything special about multi-wall compared to single-wall?
If you have multi-wall nanotube, you can expect also some scattering between different shells, and I would expect the effect is the transport is more diffusive than ballistic. And if you have really single wall nanotubes, then probably the transport will have more ballistic character, let's say. But it also depends on the geometry. But I think in multi-wall carbon tubes, the defects are more possible and so on. But in principle, it shouldn't be so some deep difference. However, I think it's usually if we have single wall nanotubes, we can expect that the situation is more ideal. We can more control properties and so on. And so at the beginning of this workshop, it was a very nice talk by Christian Schonerberger from Basel, when he showed recent results for a single wall carbon nanotube, like on this picture, attached to ferromagnetic leads. And basically, he repeats this previous experiment, but he demonstrates also that he is able effectively to attach gate voltage to this system. So, and this magnetoresistance here, this magnetoresistance behavior depends on the direction of magnetic field. Here is perpendicular to the direction of carbon nanotubes. Here is a parallel magnetic field. He was able, by changes in the gate voltage, so effective electric field here, so by manipulation of Fermi energy in the system, he was able to change this magnetoresistance from the positive value to the negative value, and also the control the transport. So So we can call such a system that this spin field is a spin field effect transistor. By electric field, we can control not only the transport properties of the system, but also spin transport in the system. And we can also.
And all of it goes flat as we go change the sign.
You mean?
It's horizontal instead of having some slope.
There's two geometries. So I don't know exactly. I don't remember why it is like that. But it is. So magnetic field. I don't know. I can give you some comments later. You can check in this paper. But the most important is that by the gate voltage, we can affect both spin transport and charge transport. And so we can plot such a typical plot for such a gated structure. So it is a conductance as a function of the gate voltage. So we believe that we control Fermi energy in this system by this gate voltage, and also as a function of bias voltage. And we see such a typical diamond structure, which now depends on how huge is the conductance in our system. We can interpret as some interference pattern, but it also could be interpreted as a Coulomb diamond structure. And so if we look at the cross-section here and zero bias, we see that our conductance looks like that. We have some maxima. And this conductance is pretty high. It's comparable already with the quantum conductance. However, it's still much smaller. So this carbon nanotubes, there is no perfect transmission. Perfect transmission for carbon nanotubes, it should be 4-4. And here we have still much smaller. And also, when they measure the magnetoresistance, so they compare the transport for parallel and antiparallel orientation of our sample, they found such an oscillation of magnetoresistance. And there is several proposal of theoretical explanation. So one was which was is used in this paper, and so this story they call it spin dependence of the interfacial phase shift. And basically it means that they consider resonant tunneling in some let's call it well structure in some potential well, and they consider that there is no interaction in between electrons. And since for spin up and down, this shape, we have ferromagnetic leads, so density of states are spin dependent. So they consider that this potential shape is different for spin up and down. And then of course if we calculate the electronic structure for such a quantum well with a different shape, we can expect that this level structure will be different. So effectively we will get some spin splitting. And and what is important that they found that this spin splitting will be present for a parallel orientation. And then, of course, if we have for parallel orientation, we have some splitting, and there is lack of splitting for antiparallel orientation. Since then, the total spin asymmetry is cancelled in our system, then of course we can expect such a strong oscillation of magnetoresistance and even minimum close to resonance. However, what is important is that any mechanism which will generate us some effective splitting for parallel orientation will also give us such a characteristic. So we believe that probably it is possible that it's not necessarily the best theory to describe the situation. So we still believe that we are the Coulomb interaction are important here, and it is probably possible to describe this effect by the co-tunneling transport and which is also present at the resonance and some effective exchange interaction, which was studied also by our group in the context of this Kondo effect, and I will discuss it a little bit later.
Are you aware of the experiments by the Moore
group? Okay, yeah. So we believe that here Coulomb interaction is important because there is very recent experiment from Delft where they succeed to get even much better the conductance than here. So it means that this contact of carbon on tubes to the leads are here much better. And when they detect this conductance as a function again of gate voltage and bias voltage, they got such a so we see here that we don't see here we cannot see here this Coulomb blockade diamond so well like on the previous picture. We see some periodic, really periodic structure as a function both of gate voltage and bias voltage, which was also observed for carbon nanotubes, well contacted carbon nanotubes for with normal leads, and people succeed to explain such behavior using theory without interaction, using tight bonding approach, and. So also in this system, we can measure magnetoresistance and typical jump of resistance due to the switch of direction of magnetization as a function of magnetic field, which looks very different for different gate voltage. And this is just some sketch, and so it shows that by gate voltage we can control this magnetoresistance behavior in this system, and again such a behavior could be explained by some effective shift of the level structure for spin up and down in the leads, and of course if we look at the cross section here we see some oscillation of the conductance, and also there is strong oscillation of magnetoresistance. However, it's not so strongly negative as on the previous picture. And there was already several papers also consider this ferromagnetic leads and using this tie bonding approach. So basically ballistic regime, no interaction, and this result can be recovered by this, which is I think is consistent with this model by I don't know who is leader here, but it's basically in the same spirit, yes, but just using a little bit different formality. So this calculation is realistic, so they take a realistic structure of carbon tube and so on. Okay, and there is also very, very nice results obtained by Van West group from Netherlands. So they showed that in such a molecular system, we can also consider multi-terminal geometry. So we have a single wall nanotube, and we are able to attach now four ferromagnetic electrodes. And why it is useful to use such a geometry with multi-terminal geometry? It is useful because we can consider so-called non-local measurements. So usually, if we measure magnetoresistance, we just apply some bias voltage here and measure the current as a function of for different orientation of magnetization. This is typical geometry for magnetoresistance measurements. But here we can also consider something like that. We can apply the current between these two leads. So the current is flowing only in this part, but we can check if there is any effect far away from the place where we inject spin current, when we generate spin accumulation and we inject spin current. And it occurs in such a geometry that effectively we generate here spin accumulation, and this spin accumulation can propagate everywhere, not only where we have a current, but also outside of this current area. So it could also come here. So we have effective spin current here. We have no charge current, but spin current. And now if we will use ferromagnetic leads, we can also detect and distinguish if this spin accumulation is positive or negative in respect of direction of magnetization of these two leads. So So and indeed, they make some resistance measurements in this non-local geometry, and even here, far from our sample, they detect some sensitivity of the transfer properties here to the direction of magnetization here. So then it means that they can even prove that they can, in this part of carbon tube, they can generate spin current without a charge current. Okay, so now I will jump to the second part. So what about transport through magnetic molecules? So we know that if we reduce the size of our system, we can expect for any range of or any size some object which will have magnetic properties. And so even for few spin situation, chemists are able to synthesize such a magnetic molecules which will behave with very relatively strong magnetic anisotropy, so it will behave at low temperature like an effective magnet. But we can also, people are able to make such a small metallic grain which are covered by some protein shell, and they form some independent objects with the amount of spin which is of the order of 50. And also it's possible to produce such a small metallic cluster which is of order of 3 nanometers and has the spin is around 1000, and there is already several years ago the transport properties was already measured and magnetic hysteresis in this such a system, and there's also no problem to create bigger particles. And what is important that how physics is changed if we reduce our spin from macroscopic magnets to our magnetic molecules. So what we can see that for such acute magnets we have multi-domain situation, and if we look on magnetic characteristic here, magnetic hysteresis, we see that there are several jumps here which is related to the creation and annihilation and propagation of the domain wall. If we reduce our system, what is nice is that we effectively get a single domain situation, and then we can see that our magnetic hysteresis is very sharp here. Yeah, so there is just one value of magnetic field where all magnetic grain switch. And if we reduce our size of spin to the order of 10, at low temperature, we can see that there is some jumps here, and these jumps are related to the fact that we see that our magnetization is not changed anymore in some continuous way, but the spin magnetization is changed in some quantized way, and this is related that our system is really spin, it's really quantum object. So and what is also important that we need to remember that if we go to smaller size, we have effect which is called superparamagnetism. So usually we can imagine that our magnetization, it's a particle in such a double well potential, and where this barrier here is proportional to the anisotropy energy times the volume. So if we reduce volume, then the direction of magnetization just to the thermal activation can jump to the other direction. And for magnetic memory, it's a very bad information, because it means that if we were reduce size, it means that we will reduce the height of this barrier, and our magnetic grain anymore will lose our memory. So it is very important to engineer materials with very high anisotropy energy, which will compensate the reduction of the volume of our grain. And we can also introduce so-called blocking temperature. So if we introduce some time scale which is important to keep our memory constant, then we can introduce some time, and from this equation we can calculate for this particular value of anisotropy energy, what is the highest temperature which we can our devices can work. And it's so-called blocking temperature. So above the blocking temperature, we have thermal activation. Below blocking temperature, our system for reasonable time spent in one potential minimum.
Your system is composed by some bunch of nanomagnetons?
So this picture is... It's
why you can measure the magnetization of the nanomagnet? In the previous frequency, the magnetization profile of the nanomagnet, right? How do you measure this?
So people succeed to make a crystal from such a magnetic molecules. So it is like that. Okay, so I will explain you. So it is like that. The people succeed to make a crystal from such a magnetic molecules. And generally, we can consider that there is no any magnetic interaction between between molecules. So we just need this crystal in order to accumulate our magnetic signal and in order to measure this magnetic hysteresis. But people believe that this characteristic, what they get, is some average of some ensemble. But we somehow see behavior of a single magnetic. If this crystal is perfect, then we see the and people and chemists are able to make very good crystals. So they believe that what they see is a feature really of the single magnetic molecules. Even we need some crystal in order to accumulate a signal.
I think one software actually uses these mini squids who can measure essentially a single molecule.
Yeah. So this is one possibility to measure, for example, magnetic anisotropy even of such a small system is to put it. So usually it looks like that. That there is some squid. Some tunnel barrier, and they put some magnetic grain somewhere here, and just by observing the magnetic fluids from the grain, they are able to detect magnetic hysteresis from it. But and so this technique of squid is very well developed, and low temperature, and if we have good shielding, we can detect the magnetization of very small object like. Like I'm not sure about it. Maybe if you know that they are able with this, but for sure they for such a grain they are able to measure this. Okay, so how looks like the structure of such a magnetic molecules? The typical magnetic molecules, the most famous is this manganese 12 and this iron 8. So it's usually it contain eight atoms of iron, and all iron are in the same spin state, but they form such a structure which is depicted here. So two spins are opposite to the rest six. So the total, if we calculate the spin, is 10. But also, if we consider this. This another molecule, we have also four manganized spin which has in spin state 3 and 8 which is in this state 4. So if we calculate again the spin for such a system is 10, and we can propose some effective Hamiltonian which describe our system, which looks like that. This is typical Zeeman energy, and we have some axial anisotropy here, so and some small deviation from this perfect axial symmetry. And what we can see is that effectively we recover such a double well potential as for usual ferromagnets, but now we see here that the energy or magnetic moment is quantized here, the projection onto one direction, and And now if we change magnetic field, we can, of course, the tune of this potential. And if we have some resonance between level in two wells, we can expect some transitions. And so when we detect magnetic hysteresis due to this district energy levels, we can expect such a jumps here. And you see that even at, we don't need mini K temperature, even in 2K, there is still magnetic behavior in such a system. Okay, but now the question is, what about transport? So just end of the last year, there's first results obtained by a group from Delft. It's a Van der Zand group, and they got some molecules from Italy, and some calculations were done by the group by Wegeweis from the group of Herbert Scheller from Aachen. And so measurements, they use this electromigration break junction. I will give you some more details in our parts. So they create such a break here, and by chance they got some molecules like here, and they try to measure the transport through it. So first, what we can expect, so the most challenging and more important would be to observe some magnetic hysteresis in transport. But in this first experiment, they didn't use magnetic field at all. I don't know if they see some effects or they were not able to apply magnetic field. Maybe this magnetic field shift the position of this magnetic molecule. So they didn't report it. And what is important that here we need to consider both the first excite state for such a molecules which will be spin 9, and also if we and this is somehow well known what should be electronic structure of such a state. However, there is no good theoretical calculation for such a electronic structure of such a molecule properties if we remove or add one electrons, which is important from point of view of transport. We know that the spin will be probably 19.5. And they predict here current suppression due to the spin blockade, and also negative differential conductance, this black area here. This is story. And on next transparency, there is really transport measurement. So it's a conductance as a function of bias voltage and gate voltage. And we see some diamonds, Coulomb diamond structure here. And what is unusual here is that we should expect such a symmetric triangle on other side, but we see that the transport is absent here. And we can conclude that it's due to spin blockade. So we need to fulfill some spin selection rules, and we can generate such a metastable state where we cannot relax back from the state because this process do not fulfill the spin selection rule. So we can for different spin structure in semiconductor system was already observed. And so this is typical behavior. And also here they show some very strong negative differential conductance. So if we see at this cross section, what we can see here that at some value of bias voltage, there is a very deep minimum in the current, and also it's a typical for this system with spin. So if we consider metallic grain, usually this type of behavior is not present in such a system. We need to have some magnetic interaction, and but still they didn't show any typical magnetic behavior like magnetic hysteresis and so on. And there is in parallel another two groups from Cornell, the group of Dan Ralph and Professor Park from Harvard, and they play with the same molecules. They also attach it to normal leads, and they measure the current. So they observe such a Coulomb step, the temperature was 300 mK, and they tried to measure the magnetic field effect in order to show that we have some magnetic behavior in this system. And what is important is that they demonstrate that even at zero magnetic field, they have some spring splitting, which could be explained also by the presence of some magnetic interaction. And so we can see that in a sequential tunneling regime, where we when we see some excitation levels, they found that there is two levels which are close nearby. It's this green and yellow line. And by applying magnetic field, they are able to show that they are sensitive, they are spin dependent, since they are able to change this energy. However, they are not fully overlapping at zero temperature, so it should be some final splitting. And also, when they detect this inelastic co-tunneling, which is in Coulomb blockade regime here, and we see that there is some two steps here, which are present. Usually, they should be completely closed for usual system at zero magnetic field, but there is some splitting, which could be enhanced. It's a spin. It's related to the spin because it's it could be enhanced by magnetic field. However, such a behavior could be also described by could be also possible for a system where we have a singlet triplet splitting, for example, for two electrons quantum dots. So something like that was already observed. For however, usually then it should be also some behavior here related to odd number of electrons, which is not present here. So I think it's already some proof. But what is also important is that they try to measure the transport as a function of magnetic field to try to detect if there is some magnetic resistance behavior, which would be very important. And they didn't see anything. They perform also some calculation and to simulate if they are in a regime of parameters where it should be possible to detect such a magnetic hysteresis. And so what they see that if they applied a very high bias voltage scan, then they don't see any magnetic hysteresis. Only if they applied smaller range of the bias voltage, they see some jump in magnetization. And however, in experiment, even they applied the smaller bias voltage, they didn't succeed. So it's somehow bad news, but so it's still important to in order to use it as a memory, we need to see this magnetic hysteresis. So it still should be improved. Okay, so now I would like
low temperature measurements before.
It was below 1K. It was 300 mK. But this this results from that was for 3K only, for much higher temperature for 3K. But they try to make the simulation in order to check if this how important is thermal activation for it and so on. Okay, and now.
How many molecules are supposed to be embedded in?
So they don't know. They are not able to. They said.
Not the related to some conductivity.
Because then we could expect some zero bias anomaly here, and also. So here we see some steps, and for condo we should see some maximum usually, yes, because it's it looks more close to some inelastic co-tunneling.
And I think they very often do see condo features, right?
But not
they're
not
just
for
selected here pictures where they do not see condo, so
no,
it's
but,
slightly different.
They didn't claim in the paper, but in this paper which I got, they do not claim that they see any condo here for this molecules.
The Delft people say that it's difficult for them to avoid condo.
For this magnetic molecules.
Also for this magnetic molecules.
Okay, so I didn't know
this. So very very very
depends, every sample looks different.
Okay. So there is some theoretical paper which also show or discuss the Kondo effect for the system. And of course, if Kondo temperature will be higher than this anisotropy energy, then this anisotropy energy doesn't matter for Kondo, and it will be usual Kondo behavior. So usually it should be interplay of these two energy scales. So in principle, it should be possible. The Kondo effect. It just depends how good could we be coupling to this conducting electrons. Okay, so now I will switch to this second part, and probably I will have not so much time to discuss this third part. So we try to analyze situation where we have such a single quantum dot or single molecule attached to ferromagnetic leads. And what will be, so now we do not discuss magnetic molecules. We come back to the normal molecules. We also, but we use now ferromagnetic leads. And we will try to analyze some Kondo behavior in such a system. So what is important is that on our dot there is strong Coulomb interaction, so we can expect that changing the gate voltage we can put the odd number of electrons, so will be some uncompensated spin, and at low temperature it can behave like a magnetic Kondo impurity. So we use several techniques to describe this system. So first we propose some effective Anderson and Kondo model which describes the system, then using scaling analysis, and we analyze some basic properties of the systems, and we study non-equilibrium transport. Then I will show you some recent experiment by Dan Ralf group from Cornell, when I will make some comparison, and also some numerical normalization group results which was done by a group of Jan von Delft from Munich. And if I will have time, I will show you some new ideas that we can also consider in such a system, that there is spin waves in our leads, and we can describe our system by effective Bose-Fermi-Kondo model. And in such a system, what is nice is that we can expect some quantum critical behavior and some non-Fermi liquid phase. Okay, so let's start. So why from theory point of view it's nice to study the quantum dot attached to ferromagnetic leads. So in heavy fermion system, so it's strongly diluted Kondo alloys, we can expect that the ferromagnetism, magnetic order and Kondo effect compete each other very strongly. And so usually it's like that, the conducting electrons try to screen out our local moments and suppress magnetic interaction between spins, and if the distance between spins is enough small, then we can also expect some RKKY interaction and induction of some local magnetic order and suppressing the Kondo effect. So usually we can plot such a diagram here, and we see that depends on the concentration. We are in a regime where our physics is dominated by Kondo physics or by magnetic interaction. And today I would like to show you that for our dot with ferromagnetic leads, even ferromagnetic leads can lead to the Kondo effect, and we can get typical Kondo behavior. And my quantum dots, it could be a single molecule, but it could be also a semiconductor quantum dot, which is very small object with strong Coulomb interaction, so we can expect some local magnetic moment at low temperature. And if we look at the electronic structure of such a system at low temperature, we see that on top of some usual electronic levels, we have some resonance which is exactly at Fermi surface. And if we have such a strong anomaly at the Fermi surface in density of states, if we consider tunneling through such a system, we can expect very strong zero bias anomaly. So we have very huge conductance peak at zero bias as a function of bias voltage, which is present only at low temperature. So if we consider higher temperatures, there is nothing. If we reduce temperature, we see there is such a peak. And what is also important that if we, by gate voltage, we tune the position of electronic level, this peak is always at zero bias, so it means that this counter-resonance is always at Fermi surface. And also, if we have even number of electrons, there is no counter effect, so we see that this resonance is related with the presence of magnetic moment. Now, if we apply magnetic field, we can split the zero bias anomaly and suppress this amplitude, so we see that magnetic field destroy the counter effect. But now the question is how this physics will be modified if we use ferromagnetic leads. And in order to answer to this question, we need to...
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Before you move on, you mentioned the interplay of the RKK wire and the quantum effect. Is this known for the big molecules you showed before? You know, like S equals 10, equals 10, equals 10. We expect, is there this such an interplay, you know, in this big
molecule? Okay.
Because Gareth mentioned the quantum, I mean, do you expect...
So if you consider a single spin, then this condo, and if the single spin is coupled to some conducting electrons, then you have this anti-ferromagnetic interaction with this conducting electron spins, and the formation of singlet, it means that we have basically condo physics, and in order to get this in order to get this magnetic interaction or magnetic order, we need spins with some special distribution to form some magnetic order, to get some magnetic anisotropy and so on. But in some sense, we can say that this anisotropy energy, competition between this anisotropy energy and condo scale will also it's somehow similar to it. So depends which energy scale is bigger, we will have this local moment regime or condo effect. But it's a little bit more complicated there, because for usual spin, here we consider paramagnetic spin. So we consider that there is completely no anisotropy energy. But if you are interested in the condo effect for this magnetic molecules, we can discuss later. I can give you also some literature already. But it's a little bit more complicated. Okay, so we consider...
What is the nature of that transition between the spaces? Is it a crossover or is it a true phase transition?
You mean...
just that schematic.
This one? Yeah. Yeah.
In your theory schematic, your phase diagram on the next transparency.
Okay. So if we consider, for example, two impurity system, it was analyzed by Barra-Jones, Varma, and so on, and you can show that this really, for ideal situations, a quantum phase transition for two impurity. It's a quantum phase transition between condo regime. From one side, it's a condo screening of each impurity separately, and for other side it's a ground state, it's a singlet between two impurity, which is completely decoupled from Fermi C.
Heavy fermion systems, I mean, there are systems where the magnetism goes away, so it's a phase transition.
Yes.
True phase transition.
It's a really quantum phase transition. Yes. It's also very rich physics around it, so it's quantum behavior. Okay, and to describe the physics in such a system, we will consider usual Anderson model. So we have single level quantum dot with two ferromagnetic leads, and so we have some Coulomb interaction, so this level is occupied only by a single electron, since it costs some energy to add another electron. And we will model the fact that we have ferromagnetic leads here by some spin asymmetry in density of states, and we will model it by consider the tunneling matrix element now between this level and the our leads are spin dependent. And we can study first the equilibrium properties, and if we consider antiparallel orientation, we can perform so-called unitary transformation. So effectively, we can shift states from the left to right leads. I prepare such a schematic picture. So for antiparallel orientation and equilibrium, it doesn't matter for the spin if we have states for left and right state side. And we can effectively add the states from the left and right lead. Since we have asymmetric situation, we end up with leads which has no spin asymmetry at all, because the total number of electrons will spin up and down is the same in our system. So we have normal leads. So for such a configuration, we could expect usual Kondo behavior. It's very trivial answer, but it's some positive message. For parallel orientation, of course, if we add the states, we still have some spin asymmetry. So in order to check the properties of the system, we need to perform some scaling analysis. We will perform two-stage scaling. On first stage, we'll analyze charge fluctuation using the scheme proposed by Haldane. And in second stage, we will integrate out spin fluctuation using scheme proposed by Anderson. And what means scaling? Scaling, so here's our band structure, and now we will, this is Fermi energy, this is top of the band, bottom of the band, and we will remove some parts from the top of the and on the bottom, and we will try to describe the system by the same effective Hamiltonian, but with normalized value of parameters of this Hamiltonian. And we can find the scaling equation for the position of our dot or our impurity level, and what is important is that this scaling now is spin dependent, so it will be different for spin up and down due to the fact that hybridization function is independent now. So if we look at how looks like this scaling described by this scaling equation, what we see is that with normalized, both levels are for spin up and down are normalized up, but they normalize in different ways, so we end with some effective spin splitting, which is different for spin up and down, and it looks very similar to Zeeman splitting. So it's a bad news, because then it means that Kondo effect will be suppressed in the system. However, it is what we can expect from this heavy fermion behavior, that the presence of some magnetic interaction will kill Kondo effect. And what is important that we found here, we can interpret the splitting here also as the effect of some exchange interaction between our molecule or quantum dot and ferromagnetic leads, which is very important and probably also generates this splitting for this experiment of Schonenberger with carbon nanotube. But now the question is, so we get some bad message. But now the question is, what's happened if we apply external magnetic field and we will try to compensate the splitting? The question is, if Kondo effect will be possible if we will compensate the splitting. And in order to answer for this question, we need to perform a Schiffer-Wolf transformation in order to get spin Kondo Hamiltonian. So now we have no any more charged degrees of freedom. We have just spins. And we got usual Kondo Hamiltonian with some small modifications. So now JZ coupling constant is different for spin up and down due to the fact that we have this spin asymmetry in the leads. And we can perform using this Anderson scheme, we can perform scaling for this Hamiltonian and for the coupling constant of this Hamiltonian. And again, when we reduce our bandwidth, we see that this coupling constant normalizes upwards and diverge of some characteristic energy scale which define us the Kondo temperature. And we can find now that this Kondo temperature will now depends on spin polarization of our leads. And so we see here that this, if we increase spin polarization, 0 it's mean normal metal, 1 it's mean half metal, and if we increase the Kondo temperature is reduced, it's exponentially suppressed at if we come to the full spin polarization, so the Kondo effect is impossible. But for metal like cobalt, nickel, or iron, the reduction of quantum temperature is not so much. So we still believe that it should be experimentally possible to observe.
Excuse me, is your magnetic field embedded in ZP, the polarization?
No. So we consider that magnetic field affects only the dot. We consider that this spin polarization, it means the asymmetry of density of states at Fermi surface and ferromagnetic leaks. Okay, but in the real experiment, people measure the transport, no equilibrium transport, so using Kedish formalis, we calculate the current, but since I have no time, I will skip this part, and I will just show you the result. So result is like that. If we consider, so left panel is for zero magnetic field, right panel is for some external magnetic field, and top panel is for normal lead. So this is classical Kondo effect. So we see some zero bias anomaly is the conductance as a function of bias voltage for normal leads. And if we applied some magnetic field, then we have a splitting of the zero bias anomaly. Now for ferromagnetic leads parallel orientation, we see that even at zero magnetic field, we have some splitting of zero bias anomaly, very similar situation to this. But if we tune magnetic field, we can find such a point, such a value of magnetic field, where we can compensate the splitting and get just zero bias anomaly. For anti-parallel orientation, as we already discussed, for zero magnetic field, there will be no splitting. And if we applied magnetic field for this anti-parallel orientation, it should be a splitting.
So this is the non-equilibrium Kondo
part? Yeah. Yeah, but I'm sorry, I skipped the theory part. But if someone is interested how to calculate it, we can discuss also later. And now let's, in few words, explain the experiment and make some comparisons, since there will be the next talk soon. And so the question is how to connect. It is also good comments to all this molecular spintronics or molecular electronics. The question is how to connect leads to such a single molecule. So first, by photolithography, we need to prepare such a very narrow wire, which is around 50 nanometers wide. And now we take, we put our molecules. It could be magnetic molecules. In this case, it was C60 molecules in some resolvent, and put some drop of this liquid on our electronic chip, evaporate resolvent, and then we start to apply very huge current to the system. So we apply higher and higher bias voltage, and we see that the current is growing, and at some point there is a jump in the current, and it means that we burn our connection here. We make some small break, and then if we increase bias, the current is reduced and much reduced, and it's coming to the level of resistance which corresponds to the tunneling barrier. So we can create tunnel barrier in the system. And now if by chance some molecules from this resolvent are attached here in this gap, we can measure the transport. So you see that this technique is very bad technique, and it's very difficult to get some control sample. It's very difficult to prove that we really measure something which is related to these molecules. So the only chance is to make very huge statistics. So usually people measure thousands of samples, and from that they got 40 samples which give some coherent results to the story, and then they publish it and they are very happy. But usually we need to search for some behavior which are unique for the system. And then, but we believe that experiment will improve it, and we will get much better control connection to these molecules and so on. But at the present this stage, it looks like that, which is a little bit gambling, or I don't know. It's not real technology. Okay, and what I did? Okay, sorry. make some sense. Don't. I try to finish in a few minutes. Okay, so we can see that this break is somehow very random and we cannot control anything. But recently this corner group, they use this nickel electrodes with such a very strange shape in order to get very different anisotropy for both left and right leads and control the magnetization of both leads independently. And by current they were able to generate such a break. And first they checked the system without molecules in order to show that they are able to create ferromagnetic talent junction here. So what we can see, if without molecules, when they measure the resistance to such a system, they also found some magnetic hysteresis and low resistance for parallel orientation and high resistance for antiparallel orientation. So they proved that they are really able to control magnetization of both sides. And now they use molecules, the C60 molecules, and first they use the gold electrodes in order to make some comparison. And for zero magnetic field, they obtain zero bias anomaly, which they were able to split by 10 Tesla magnetic field. So, and now what happened when they use a nickel electrode, they found very huge splitting even at zero magnetic field. And the amplitude of the splitting is around 5 millielectronovolts. So it for G factor 2, it corresponds to magnetic field of 50 Tesla. So they believe that it shouldn't be related to some stray magnetic field. And it is very nice message, because it means that by attaching some molecules, C60 molecules, non-magnetic molecules, to ferromagnetic leads, we can, by exchange interaction, we can create very strong exchange field in our system, which is of order of 50 Tesla. So, and maybe in future, in experiment, if we will, on our chip, we need some in different places, some different magnetic field, we don't need to apply it, which is very difficult and it's impossible in experiment, but we can just use some ferromagnetic leads, and by just attaching them to some molecules, we can create so strong local magnetic field. And by tuning magnetic field here, they demonstrate also that they are able to, so here is a very weak magnetic field, which just tune the direction of this ferromagnetic lead. And for negative magnetic field, there was some there is parallel orientation, so the splitting is not much affected. So this is the conductance as a function of bias voltage. And we see that close to zero magnetic field, there is some jump, and this splitting is nearly close, and it could be interpreted that we have antiparallel orientation now, and what we predict that it should be no splitting. However, there is some small residual splitting, which could be related to some left-right asymmetry in the coupling. And it means that this exchange interaction from left and right leads are not the same, and we have some residual splitting. And now if we increase magnetic field, this splitting is increased slowly, so probably we have some non-collinear magnetization. There is some jump, another jump, and we have again parallel orientation and the splitting the same like for the system. And they choose another sample whereby you see for this antiparallel orientation now there is a single peak. So it's this picture proves that Kondo effect is really possible even we use nickel electrodes, however in special situation. And so maybe just one the last comment that what is important here, that when they change temperature, you see that this Kondo effect disappears completely if we approach 7K. However, if we look, the amplitude of the splitting is not so much affected. So this, it means that this exchange interaction is independent on Kondo effect, and even in much higher temperatures than Kondo effect will be important. So we believe that from application point of view, it could be important even for very high temperature. Depends, of course, on the system parameter. So I think this exchange interaction, which we prove by this, it's more important maybe even than this from applications of this Kondo effect. So I think I will slowly conclude. So I will use some results. Yeah, so I skip, since I have no time, there should be another talk. I skip this normalization group results, which was done in collaboration with Jan. And what is important message that this exchange interaction could be also controlled by electric field, by gate voltage. So we can open or close this gap by gate. So it's, we have magnetic type of interaction between ferromagnetic leads and our molecule, and we can control it by the gate.
Has this been shown by experiments?
No. So, for example, for the C60 molecule, they put gate electrode, but they do not get good coupling in order to tune any properties. So the coupling was too weak. So it's something which should still be done somehow. Okay, and I also skip this part, so I just in one sentence, I will explain you that in our model we did not discuss the effect of spin waves of magnons, and what is important that we can include it to our model, which was done recently by Chumel C, and it is possible to show that this magnons, the spin waves, they follow the boson statistic, so then our local spin is coupled both to the Fermi C and Bose C, and there is some competition in this coupling, and it leads to some local quantum critical point. And what is important is that probably to approach this quantum critical point will be much more easy than for this two-channel Kondo physics and this two impurity situation, since we need to fulfill some special symmetries for the system, but here it's not so important. However, one needs a very good coupling to the spin waves, which probably will be difficult experimentally to demonstrate. Okay, so maybe at this point I will stop, since we should start another talk, and if there is some question.